Allon më vruatër kam jollë këndal Qire vuren atar një fua Në kallës kja unuje Aqjum da yesachine esia ne ku kavas kaunu
Hi folks. A few minutes late in getting started tonight. Uber Conference is doing some funny things. The start page looks a bit... looks like binary or something. It's quite weird. I just took a stab in the dark and managed to get on tonight. Anyway, last week, what a fiasco. So I didn't have my computer. So I decided to make the try and do the show through my mobile phone. So I ended up Johnny sent me the link. Ended up using a link Johnny sent me, which just took me to the normal kind of start page, you know, revision media in it and stuff. So I just connected up and did a full show with my mobile phone. And continued right into the round table. So the total was like around about four hours. Anyway, it was a good clear line, made the show, did the show, and then I didn't realize at the time, thought it was all good. But the next day I got a warning message from a mobile phone company saying that I had made some unusual calls, and basically a warning, and saying that the call had cost £402 plus VAT. And I was shocked to say the least. Couldn't believe it. It went through. I never dialed a number. I mean, I clicked on a link, but I never dialed a number. But that's what they're trying to get me to pay, £402 plus VAT for last week's show. So last week's show was expensive. Anyway, so I phoned them up. I didn't phone them up. I went on to online live messenger and spoke to someone. This is O2 I'm talking about, the provider. So anyway, spoke to them and explained what happened in detail, and then the guy came back and said, I said, well, look, I can't pay this, it's ridiculous. Plus, I never dialed a number, I just basically connected up through a few links online. So, I mean, obviously one of them contained a number. That's went on to my bill. But anyway, he said, the most I can give you off is £50. And I said, that's not even a quarter of it. Not even close to a quarter of it. So he trotted off and said, I'll let you speak to a manager. So then I spoke to a manager and basically explained the whole thing again. And he offered me £75 off as a goodwill gesture. And I says, well, I don't really want to commit myself to saying okay, because, you know, it's an error as far as I'm concerned and not on my side. But by the same token, I appreciated his £75 offer, so I don't know. I think that was credited to the account, basically. But it's still, you know, 320-odd plus VAT. So we'll see how we get on. Johnny's offered to help me, but I don't know. I think I should basically fight it and say, look, no, you know, because if you pay a reduced amount, even if they offered you, you know, even if they offered me half a discount or whatever, 50% off, you're still committed to pay it once you agree to that. That's a trouble. It might be worthwhile taking it up with Uber, though. I was going to suggest that to Johnny. Take it up with Uber Conference and say, you know, it's possible to make unwitting phone calls using that link. I was being cautious because I was aware of what might happen, basically. And as soon as I seen that start page in Uber, my normal start page with, you know, the Revision Media box in it, I knew I was in the right place, but it would appear somewhere along the line I've dialed the number. Anyway, we'll see how we get on. Like I say, Johnny said he would help me with it, but I don't think we should. Comply that easy, give up that easy. You're always better fighting these things. But that's what happened last week anyway. It was very much a one-off. And the only reason it happened was because I wasn't using my computer, I was using my phone. So, yeah, just be careful. I will be careful in future, that's for sure. That's quite scary. Apparently, the girl in the helpline, phone to helpline as well. They weren't helpful at all. They did nothing, said very little. But she did say that it happens all the time. That's what she said. I was quite surprised at that. She said, yeah, people connect up. On the internet with their mobiles, not realizing that sometimes they're going through links that's connecting them up to paying phone services. Yeah, fair enough. So anyway, it wasn't too good likes, but we'll see how we got on. The amount isn't due until my next standing order date, which is, I think it's a couple of weeks yet. But I'll cancel that, because I want to speak to them about it seriously, from a position of strength. I think that's the best way to handle it. So, anyway, we'll see how it goes. But tonight's show, I was going to do about vaccines, because there's a lot of stuff happening as regards vaccines. I don't know if you're following the whole vaccine thing, but quite a lot of scare stories going about. And they have no online. I mean, and I've no reason to believe they're not true. When I decided to do the show about vaccines today, I asked a few friends and acquaintances and stuff if they had any experience, good or bad, with vaccines. So yeah, I got a couple of first-hand stories. One of them was my pal Sandy. He was saying that when he was working offshore in he's a chef, he works offshore in the oil industry, or at least he used to. He was offshore, and one of the guys in the rig, he basically went and got a flu shot, and he was really ill. He had flu symptoms for 18 months. He was off his work all that time after getting a vaccine. obviously didn't agree with them. The thing is, the bottom line, and this is what you've got to keep focused on, is the fact that there's well over 100 different strains of the flu. Well over 120, 130 or something. And sub-strains. It depends. It's a difficult thing to measure because you get strains and sub-strains. You get strains of the flu that morph slightly into a sub-strain, change into a sub-strain, if you like. But anyway, the vaccine, it only covers like 3 or 4 strains of the flu. And the flu that comes round every winter time is not the same flu as came round last winter or the winter before that. So they have to anticipate, they have to try and anticipate before time what strain of the flu is going to come in order to make an antidote for it, because they're fully aware that there's a lot more than 4 strains of the flu, and they can only, I mean, there's only so much stuff you can put in a vaccination. There's only so much, I mean, 4 different strains is obviously 4 different microscopic amounts of some chemical. It's as simple as that. So that's why they can't put in any more than 4. They could overload the system. They could overload your system. You'd end up really, really ill because you're carrying all these different diseases around with you, albeit in a very, very microscopic way. You're still injecting yourself with an illness. Now, so it's a complete stab in the dark. That's my point. It's like closing your eyes and throwing darts at a dartboard. It's a complete stab in the dark. What's the point of getting a vaccination that only covers, say, 4 strains out of 120? It's ridiculous. The chances, it's a bit like a lottery. So you're giving yourself one flu. This is what's happening in the real world. You're giving yourself, if you get the jab, you're giving yourself 1 or 2 strains of the flu. Albeit through choice. But the flu that comes along that winter could be an entirely different strain, and it probably will be. If you want to take a logical, statistical look at it, it's probably another strain that will come along. So your flu jab is done, as immunise you against something that's not even really a threat. So even from a practical, pragmatic point of view, it's utterly pointless. Not only is it pointless, it's decidedly dangerous, because you're introducing an illness into your body, and that can't be right, can't be good, and it's not so clever. Now, closer to home, my dad got it a few years ago, he got it before I knew he was going to get it, basically. If I'd known he was thinking about getting it, I would have definitely advised him against it, for sure. But without my knowledge, he went away ahead and he got the flu jab. I think it was maybe 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I can't remember. It was a few years back anyway. But it made him really ill. We were worried. Family was worried. It made him really ill. He just wasn't right. And he said he felt like something dirty had went into him. That's an interesting statement. He felt like something dirty had went into him. It's quite... Anyway, he Aye, so he was very ill with it. We were, the family was quite concerned about him, to be honest, because it was touch and go. It was a bit like, I think he was 89 at the time. So, you know, he wasn't a young man, 89. So, but he was kind of a wee bit frail. So when he went back to the doctor and said, look, listen, I think this is a... I was feeling ill pretty much immediately after I got the flu shot, and I've never been right since. And the doctor kind of reacted in a funny way. He sort of shook his head and said, "Well, you're not the first. You know, to have taken a bad reaction to it." That's basically what he said, and the doctor was kind of apologetic, actually. He was quite apologetic. But I think it was he was ill for like 6 or 7 months. Runny nose, cough, hot eyes, that kind of hot feeling you get in your eyes. Your eyes kind of feel hot and swollen, and your joints feel a bit stiff. Classic. Flu symptoms. So yeah, it was it you know, that's a lot closer to home, like, but that's what happened. He's back on his feet now, like. He's 92 now, I think, and still going strong. But no, I mean, well, he said he would never take, he'd never get it again. That's what he said. The thing is, as well, flu's a virus, so it's not a germ, it's not bacteria, it's nothing like that, it's an actual virus, and a virus is not even a life form, really. It's a protein. It doesn't really seem to have any kind of brain. There's been incidences over and over again of them getting caught sterilizing people. And because the Masonic media decide what we get to hear and how our minds are controlled, and they'll never report this, but it usually leaks online from people in that country. That's usually how it gets into the internet. And then it gets onto the alternative media. We get a hold of it, basically. But there's reason to believe that there is as much as 11 incidences of mass sterilization. And you know, they always turn around with the same excuse and say it was a contaminated batch, which I mean, if it's a contaminated batch or whatever, why doesn't it just make people, you know, a bit sick or whatever? Why does it sterilize them? It's obviously just, I mean, it's nonsense. It's obviously nonsense, what they're doing. I just realized, Richard, I'll need to tell Johnny I'm on Skype now, because I've dropped out in Liberty Light as well. I never thought of that. Yeah, I've just messaged him anyway. Tell him I've reconnected on Skype. See what he says. Yeah, I forgot about that, Richard. You probably did as well. Simultaneous broadcasts. Multi-streaming. We're multi-streaming. Don't forget about that, Richard. But anyway, yes. So that's... there's been 11 different incidences when that's happened. There's been a... mass sterilizations, and twice I was doing a bit of digging, twice there's a mass of people died after getting vaccinations. Now that's another thing, there's a lot, it's not reported, but a lot of people, you take a sample batch of like 10,000 people across the board, there's usually around about 5 to 10% of that number will get some sort of bad side effects or some sort of nasty side effects. That's pretty much normal. But if you look at the ingredients, even the flu shot, are quite disturbing. They use they don't even name it properly. It's a mercury-based compound. They give another name. Johnny will keep me right on that one. He knows about this. But it's basically a mercury compound with a different name. So they're putting mercury into your body, basically. And they also an aluminium oxide derivative that's supposed to be, well, the claim it's a preservative to keep it, you know, preserved, basically to extend the shelf life or whatever. But that's what you're putting into your body. You're putting in oxides of aluminium and mercury. It's mad. It's absolute madness. And now, as if that wasn't bad enough, the other ingredients that they put in are even more disturbing. And that's fetal cells. Fetal cells. And just think about that for a moment. So they're taking fetal cells out of aborted babies, and they're using that fetal cells in vaccinations to inject into adults. It's a common ingredient. It's not something that pops up now and again. It's a common ingredient. If you read the small print and see what's actually in these things, it's shocking. And as if I wasn't shocking enough, it's actually worse than that. They actually use cells from monkeys and rats and pigs. So they take their cells and they basically mutate them by growing them on and stuff. And for some reason, they think that's a good idea to put in a vaccination. So what they claim they're doing is they claim they're taking a tiny proportion of that illness and basically growing it to a stage where your body will recognize it as a common invader and make an antidote for it, kill it. But they're using such obscure things. I mean, how is the human body going to recognize monkey genes or rat genes? They even use vegetable genes. They even take vegetable genes and grow things on in them. And of course, don't forget about egg white, albumin. They use egg white as well. So it's chicken egg derivatives you're injecting into your body. I can't aim, you know, without even, you know, forgetting about the whole agenda and everything else, just in basic, simple terms, you're injecting stuff into your body that your body, you know, would never, ever, in a million years, ever encounter. It's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. It defies logic. It defies common sense. It blows my mind that people stick up a spike in their arm and inject that shit into their body. Now, loads of people will not. This is where it gets really disturbing. There's loads of people actually just simply died from getting the vaccine, more or less within an hour or two, and sometimes they get really sick and maybe they'll die within a week, but they'll never publish that numbers. But it's common. It's not uncommon. It's common for people just to die. But they will never put that in a death certificate, obviously. They'll put down natural causes or, cardiac arrest or, you know, he had a fit or whatever. They'll never admit to the fact that the guy just happened to get an injection the day before, a vaccination the day before. Well, you might think to yourself, oh, that's careless, or that's mad, or that's crazy, or whatever, but it's not. It's part of a bigger agenda. That's the whole thing. It's part of an agenda. It's part of a published agenda, Agenda 21, to thin out the population. That's what they want to do. They want to get rid of people. And it's just one aspect of Agenda 21. They're also spraying shit in the skies. We all know this. Supposedly to reflect sunlight. But it falls down with the rain and gets onto plants and everything. And we know what it is. It's weird chemicals are spraying into our atmosphere. Supposedly to reflect the sunlight to prevent global warming. And global warming is just like a natural, a naturally occurring thing, heating and cooling cycles. But these twisted people have made it an opportunity to tax people. It's called carbon tax. So that's another aspect of the same dirty game, if you like, the chemtrail and thing. These things are all connected. So it's making people sick. Particularly in America, by the way. It's real bad in America. They're spraying the hell out of the skies in the populated areas of America. I've seen some photographs people have posted from different American cities, and the sky looks terrible. It looks like pea soup. It's just like, you know. And then some of them post, like, 4 or 6 images at different times to show you like how it started and how it developed. And it like started off a nice clear blue sky, perfect, and then you see the planes coming in crisscrossing the sky. They're obviously not flying anywhere in particular, because planes don't fly at right angles, especially between barren areas, because there's no. Yeah, so there's an app you can get in your phone now, actually, to follow all aircraft. Quite interesting. It's obviously based on a satellite. And you can see the chemtrailers, you know, they're crisscrossing the sky. They're not going from A to B. They're just zigzagging around. That's what they're doing. So, yeah, you can follow. They've been denying this for years, but recently they've started admitting it and saying it's geoengineering. That's what they're calling it, to prevent global warming. So they blame man for global warming, so they'll try and get away with the taxing people, the taxation scam. And it lets them do other stuff as well. These people are obviously members of secret societies, because nobody's speaking about this. You know, you're not getting guys coming forward and go, oh, I drive a van and I delivered chemicals to an airport recently. That's not happening. And normally it would. Normally people would speak. People speak about these things, especially if they're shocked about something. So they're obviously using the secret societies to do this, because it's not really coming out. And when it did come out for a start, everyone thought, oh, it's just a conspiracy theory. Oh, no, that can't be happening, that can't be happening. That went on for years. But now, they're admitting it on an official level. Yes, we're doing it. And they've been caught. People have went up in light aircraft and actually filmed them in action. And the stuff is coming out. It's coming out in two different ways. It's coming out in wing-mounted sort of sprayers. It's got nothing to do with the engines or whatever. But it's also coming out in the exhaust. They're putting stuff in the fuel. So it's coming out in the exhaust fumes. So they're spraying it as a particulate. And they're spraying it as an exhaust of some sort. Whatever it is, it's going through the jet propulsion system and coming out in strange ways. It's not any of the normal chemicals that you would associate with burning kerosene at very high temperatures. So yeah, this stuff's coming down. They know what it is. It's boron and strange stuff, heavy metals like boron and zinc and cadmium and stuff. That's what it is. Plenty of people have taken it and got it analyzed in labs. It's been done hundreds of times. So they go out and take swabs after of like heavy spraying going on. So you might think, well, what the hell has that got to do with vaccinations? Well, not a lot. It's just another way of culling the herd. Vaccinations will cull the herd. spraying everything with chemicals will kill the herd. It will make people die sooner. Make people die earlier, particularly the frail. Now, the New World Order people have been trying for ages to... cancer's not... I mean, they've got cures for cancer, we know this. So, but cancer's not working quick enough to call the herd. So there's other stuff. Other stuff they're introducing, Ebola, AIDS, Lyme's disease, all of these came out of labs. Unnatural. They weren't natural at all. They know exactly where Lyme's disease came out of a lab in New York Bay. That's where it came out of. That was the first case that was ever traced to there. That's a strange place, a test facility in Hudson Bay. A test facility. And people have, it's all top secret. But people have washed up all along the beaches there. Dead for no apparent reason. Couldn't really trace, you know, anything untoward in their system or whatever when they were taken for autopsies, but they were found, they were washed up. Scary amount of people washed up there, but they won't report it. They won't report it. Or they'll say it was suicide. That's a common one. So, but anyway, that's a link there. So, it's interesting, if you listen to any of the speeches by George Bush Sr., Clinton mentioned it, I remember, as well, but certainly I heard Ronald Reagan speaking about it in their rhetoric, saying that basically there was too much people. Too many people in the world. Sometimes it was said, as I say, sometimes it was said like tongue-in-cheek. The thing is, the mad thing is, there's like 7.2 billion people in the world right now. You could actually, this blows people away, but I've checked it out. 7.2 billion people in the world could all fit into Alaska and a small holding with 2.5 acres. Let that sink in. 7.2 billion people could fit into Alaska with a small holding, a small cottage or whatever, on 2.5 acres of land. Now, I mean, that's just an example of how big the world is and how small a number 7 billion is. Another way, I know northern Alaska's pretty snowy and you wouldn't be able to do much with 2.5 acres, I understand that, but it's just an illustration of the amount of area per capita there would be if everyone was allowed to own a small bit of land. Another good illustration is, if you put everybody standing shoulder, they would fit into Wales. Small country of Wales. So, it's not that big a number, 7.2 billion. It's not that big a number. And they reckon that with current kind of food production techniques, they reckon that we could, without needing an awful lot more land, or, you know, reclaiming an awful lot more land for agriculture, we could sustain 3 times what we're currently sustaining. In other words, like 21 billion. The Earth, at the way it's going right now, could sustain 21 billion. However, agricultural land, the amount of agricultural land that's available in every country, well, in the world in general, increases every year because they're reclaiming more and more areas and basically chopping down forests but also irrigating deserts. There's a lot of that going on. There's a lot of reclaiming, a lot of reclamation going on in deserts with irrigation systems and stuff like that. But anyway, getting back to the point, the Earth is not overpopulated. It's just not. It's simply not overpopulated. So it's a kind of blindness they've got. It's a kind of obsession. To be so, focused on that. I remember one interview, it really sticks in my head, of Prince Philip. He was being interviewed, and he just came out of hospital and recovered from something. I can't remember what it was, but he was given a kind of informal interview. On the interview, I said to him, do you believe in reincarnation? And he was asking him different questions about God and religion and this and that, and he said, do you believe in reincarnation? And Prince Philip said, and I kid you not, he said, I hope reincarnation's true, because I want to come back as a virus and get rid of a third of the Earth's population. Ha ha ha. That was meant to be funny. But he was actually deadly serious, because if you see some of the other interviews he's given, he slips it in. They've even got it's part of the secret society thing. They've even got a little, New World Order eugenicists, they've even got a little club. They've even got a little logo they wear, a little tiny badge in their lapels. They don't wear it all the time, obviously, like, that would be a bit too obvious, but, yeah, they do. So they're in a eugenicist, a Masonic style club. But there's loads of different Masonic groups that they're all members of. This is where it gets confusing, because a lot of them are members of several different groups, like, you know, the Committee of 300. I remember seeing somebody arguing that, well, they were arguing online that you couldn't be a member of the Committee of 300 and Illuminati, which is just a ridiculous thing to say. Of course you could. And a lot of them are members of like six or seven different societies. Soul Society and Palladian Society and all this kind of stuff, which are basically public school. Well, it starts at public school, but they're basically public school based secret societies, like in Harvard and Yale and things like that, Princeton. And we've got them in the UK as well, obviously, but that's where they do the recruiting, and they go through these weird rituals. The Skull and Bone Society, that was what George Bush was in. That was a strange one, wasn't it? You've got to tell all the members of the lodge your deepest, darkest sexual secret, and lie in a coffin and masturbate. It's meant to humiliate you, that's the whole thing, and that's kind of like what secret society stuff's based on. They've got secrets over you. They can manipulate you because they've got dirt on you, basically. That's how they work. But anyway, all of those secret societies, politicians, the Bushes and the Clintons and everything, they're all totally into that. That's just what they're about. That's what they're really about. And they actually laugh left and right, Democrat or Republican. Republican or whatever, it makes no difference. They actually laugh at how gullible the public are, believing, basically hanging on every word to say. They think that's funny. It's politics is theater, of course. So these movers and shakers, I mean, they've been at it. The Masonic elite, the pedophile establishment, call them what you like, they've been at it for the best part of 60 or 70 years. But it's only through modern technology that they're actually able to implement a lot of the things they're doing. The other one, of course, everyone's concerned about is 5G. And that's another thing it emits. It's nothing like 4G. It shouldn't be called 5G because it makes you think along, you know, it's along the same lines. It's not along the same lines. It's a different technology altogether. It's a completely different frequency altogether. And it's harmful. They know it's harmful, because when, as soon as they put up 5G masts, birds die around them. And bees. So they know it's harmful. And I remember seeing, it was quite interesting, one guy went in with basically a radiation measuring device, a little unit in his hand, and he was somewhere in America, and he's walking down the street, and he was standing opposite, he was standing on the opposite side of the street with this meter, and the needle, it was basically the power coming out of this 5G mast, and the needle was pinned right across at the other side of the gauge. So he went into a restaurant nearby, and it dropped, the needle dropped slightly, you know, when he went into the restaurant. He's maybe 150 meters away, something like that, from the mast. But it was still, that needle was still like 7 or 8 times above the recommended safe limit. These people were all just sitting. It was mad. Everybody's just walking about. It was a busy street. Everybody just walking about, doing their business. Waiters serving food and coffee and everything in this restaurant. And everybody's being fried. Actually fried. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen the gauge. I've seen the power coming out. I've seen the power that was putting out. So, yeah, it works in a completely different technology. They can't use these big masts that you see everywhere for 4G and 3G. They've got to use small transmitters all over the place. Loads of them. Everywhere. Like down streets and everything. You know, mounted on lampposts and stuff. So they'll be everywhere. They'll start popping up everywhere. They have started popping up everywhere. But yeah, it's a completely different frequency. And another thing is, it's been associated with depression. The frequency they're using, you know, if it doesn't fry you, if you're out with the frying radius, it'll get you. It'll get you anyway. You'll end up really depressed. yeah, it's not funny. I'm laughing. It's not funny. It's actually tragic. It's like a sick joke being played on society. So that's another aspect of the New World Order's eugenics campaign. That's how 5G ties in with vaccines and ties in with atmospheric spraying, chemtrailing, call it what you like. It's going on big time. I've seen it in the Central Belt. I was down in Edinburgh a couple of years ago, I remember a lovely sunny day, and I remember just being absolutely amazed at the fact that it was quite still. There wasn't a wind at all, and I remember being quite amazed at the fact there was actually like a chessboard in the sky with jet trails. It's actually it was almost like a perfect chessboard, and I was thinking, that's weird, and I knew where the airport was in relation to where I was standing. I knew exactly where it was, and it was nothing to do with that. These were high altitude anyway. I mean, you get planes, it's quite a busy airport in Edinburgh. You get planes coming and going all the time. But they're at a certain altitude, obviously, you know, because they're either taking off or landing. So they're in a taking off or landing sort of corridor. This checkerboard thing I'm talking about, it was like, I don't know, 40,000 feet or something. It was way up. So yeah, they're doing it here as well. I did notice they didn't dissipate as they normally would, you know, just sort of fade out and gradually disappear. That never happened. They sort of lingered and then darkened in colour. I was watching them. Got photographs of them somewhere, actually. I couldn't believe it, because I was down at a boatyard. I used to have a little boat there, and I was down at a boatyard, and I said to a few of the guys working on the boats and everything, "Here, have you noticed the sky?" And they're like, "No." I couldn't believe how no one else noticed it. And then a couple was like, "Oh, right, yeah, look at that. Wow, that's strange, isn't it?"
I wouldn't have noticed that if you'd not pointed it out. People just don't seem to notice these things. It's kind of weird. It's just kind of weird. And if they do notice them, they don't question them. I can't understand that. Why would anyone not question planes flying in no particular direction in a checkerboard pattern? Why would no one question that? Why would no one think that's weird or unusual? Why wouldn't you think that's weird or unusual? Of course it is. I mean, jet fuel's expensive. You're not going to, you know, they always work out the quickest possible way between two points, so they're not wasting any fuel. So they're not going to be flying around aimlessly, left and right, north and south, east and west. They're not, just not going to be doing that. And these are big aircraft. They're not, because, yeah, they're not fighters or whatever. It's not like that at all. I've seen them with my own eyes as well, through binoculars. It's an interesting thing, like, I got an app in my phone. At the same time, when I was down in Edinburgh, it was new at the time, it was a new app. And it was an app that told you about what every single plane in the sky was, and where it was going, and where it was headed, and which air company it was part of, or whatever. And even the commercial ones, you know, commercial flights. Moving stuff about, stock about. But it didn't know, didn't recognise any of these planes that was making the crisscross. Now, that's for obvious reasons, isn't it? They're military. The military is not going to reveal the position of their planes, or what they're doing in exercise or whatever. So the planes that are spraying the stuff in the atmosphere are military. Quite easy to work that one out. It's quite easy to work it out. So I'm not meaning they're military style aircraft. I'm not saying that at all. But they're using military privacy laws as to not have to publish what they're doing and what, you know, what where they're about or whatever, because everyone else has got, I mean, it's really strict. You just can't fly around willy-nilly. You've got to know exactly, you know, what your call sign is, where you're going, what you're carrying, what you're doing, you know, and the times. So they can organise air traffic control and all that stuff. So, oh, I'm getting a bit of an echo.
Oh, that was me, Graham. I was going to check if you wanted to take your break.
Oh, hi, Richard. Yeah, I'll take a little break. Yeah, thanks.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll get a coffee. That'd be great. Cheers.
Thank you. zijn kousen aan, nekken je nevi van gosh.
We're speaking about vaccinations and how it all ties into the bigger picture of Agenda 21, social engineering, the population cull. Now there's another thing that's connected, but not connected, well connected directly actually, and that is additives in foods. Now there's additives going into foods. This is actually quite a big deal. There's additives going into food that they know for a fact are harmful. And they're calling them preservatives and colouring. And the first example of that springs to my mind is aspartame, which is an artificial sweetener. Now, it was discovered by accident. It was actually, it's an industrial waste product, it's a byproduct of the aluminium industry. And they found out it was sweet, somehow. So it's not even, you know, it's not even biological or anything in nature. And an interesting thing about it as well is, Donald Rumsfeld was on the board of directors of the company, and when it went for FCC approval, instead of going through the normal 7 or 8 years of testing and evaluation, it was fast-tracked through and found its way into the food chain real quick. So I can only assume it's Masonic connections or whatever, but it was never properly FCC approved. Aspartame, never properly approved, and when they give it to lab rats, they developed a horrendous tumours. That's nasty stuff. It's clearly nasty stuff. They are, in their defence, they say that it's like very, very minuscule amounts that they actually put in. You know, it's so concentrated that it's just minuscule amounts that's going into each drink. Now, it just used to be diet drinks. you know, One Call and Coca-Cola Zero and stuff like that, zero sugar drinks. But it's not the case now. It's not the case. I just triggered my phone there, thinking I was wanting to access Siri or whatever. Yeah, aspartame. It was just in diet drinks for a start, and you didn't even need to check the ingredients in a normal sugar-based soda because it wouldn't have it in it. You know, you didn't have to worry about it. It was an artificial sweetener. It just wasn't used. They used sugar. But that's not the case anymore. And I had been drinking, I went through a phase of, you know, my soft drink of choice was Dr. Pepper. I drank it all one summer. I was drinking loads of it. I was buying cases of it and drinking loads of it. And then I noticed there was a subtle change in the taste. And I had a right look at the ingredients. And this is not that I don't buy diet drinks, you know, at all, ever. I won't even drink them if I get them for nothing, you know. I'd rather go thirsty. But I noticed a subtle difference in the taste anyway. And I had a look at the ingredients, and lo and behold, aspartame was in full sugar. Not the diet, the full sugar version of Dr. Pepper. And I was quite pissed off about that, to be honest. It was really, really annoying. And so then I started looking at other cans, and I discovered that one of our local soft drinks companies based in Glasgow, it's called Bars, they make the famous Iron Brew. World famous Iron Brew. It's banned in America, by the way, Iron Brew, because of emissions. Because of emissions. because of their strict laws and additives. So it's actually Iron Brew's banned in America. But it's more popular here than Coca-Cola. And Coca-Cola's really popular. Anyway, I was having a look at the cans in their range, and I found the same thing. The same thing was happening and crept into a few of the soft drinks there as well. And I actually emailed Bars in Glasgow and said, why is there aspartame in your some of your non-diet drinks? It's an artificial sweetener, so what's it doing in non-diet drinks? And I don't really expect that. I didn't really expect an answer, but I got an answer. I got this great long answer from somebody in the customer relations department or whatever, and this great big spiel about how it was totally safe, and they had conducted, you know, but the government had conducted tests, and you know, there's private companies who conducted tests, and aspartame was proven to be safe, and. I was like, wow. So I wrote back to her and I said, there's a lot more tests being done that says it's not safe, including giving it in larger doses to animals and not develop cancer and such. But anyway, that's there's a whole range of them and they're hidden within a lot of these so-called E numbers. It's like an abbreviation for a complex chemical. It's meant to be a preservative of some sort. And a lot of them are, I mean, okay, it's only tiny amounts, it's only minuscule amounts, but they are, they try and pass them off as flavor enhancers, anti-caking agents, preservatives and colour. That's another thing. Colouring. Try and say it's for colouring. But a lot of these chemicals are harmful and known to be harmful to human health. Directly linked with all sorts of nasty ailments and whatnot. But they are, again, their defence is it's minuscule amounts, so you know, it's well below the safe level or whatever. I mean, you take a step back and you say, well, why the hell are you messing about with our food anyway? Why are you putting the stuff in the food anyway? You know, what's really going on here? What's really going on? I mean, I know the whole idea of business is to make profit, obviously, and they're wanting to try and maximize our expenditure and, you know, minimize their expense. That's how business works, obviously, but the asperity, that must have been a real hit for them when they discovered that, you know, this was a highly concentrated a sweetener, and it was a byproduct of something else. In other words, they would normally throw it away, and suddenly it's actually got worse. We in this country we've got a sugar tax now. They introduced a sugar tax, and suddenly some drinks manufacturers just shrunk their cans to make them a bit smaller. Coke did that. They've got a skinny can now instead of the chunky one. I think it's went from 330 down to 270 or something like that. Other ones have basically just put their price up. So, yeah, other companies have just put the price up. So, basically what happened, it's a bit of a stealth tax, really. Basically, soft drinks doubled in price. That's what happened. And you can't blame the soft drinks companies because it's a tax. So they've been telling us for years how harmful sugar is. Try to brainwash you that sugar is like this horrendous thing that's going to kill you for quite a while. And now they're taxing us on it. Wow. Totally nuts. But there's loads of additives, and what they do is they intentionally give them really complicated names, and not only do they give them really complicated names, they go and they change the name every so often. So if you try and look it up, you try and look up what this chemical is, you know, specifically, there's a good chance you won't find it. Or, you know, your information will be outdated, because they can slightly change the chemical makeup or something just by altering one molecule or whatever. So it's basically the same thing, but it's not the same thing. It's been slightly manipulated, so they can give it a new name. That's what they do. That's exactly what they do. So you got to be really careful then with what you're eating, because it's in processed food right across the board in a shocking way. It's worse in America than it is in Europe. Europe's got a slightly more stringent laws as regards additives to food and stuff like that. We definitely have the stuff, well, for instance, GMOs, genetically modified organisms, you're not allowed to put that into breakfast cereals in Europe, but you can put it into breakfast cereals in America. Now, it's interesting because I wrote to Kellogg's and said, do you put genetically modified food in your breakfast cereal? And they wrote back and said, we are always focused on customers. We're always focused on customers and customer demands, and there is no demand for GMOs in Europe. So basically, we're not getting GMOs in our cornflakes, but you are in the US, sadly, you are. Now, that's really, really bizarre. When you start to think of, you know, why would you go and modify something at a genetic level? Well, they claim it's to increase crop yields or shelf life or whatever. But what they're doing is like really Frankenstein stuff. They've got, it's scary. If you're not scared, you're not paying attention. They're taking rat genes, genes and putting them in tomatoes. And just let that sink in. What the hell are they taking a rat gene and putting it in a tomato? That's freaky. That's really, really scary. But I've noticed the difference. In my lifetime, I've noticed the difference. I grew tomatoes. I was into gardening from when I was like 12. I was into growing stuff from when I was like 12. And I was growing tomatoes when I was in primary 7. Good tomatoes, trying all different kinds, getting right into it. Now I can remember what tomatoes were like, my own ones. And I can remember what tomatoes were like in the shops, but they've changed. I can tell you now, they have changed. The tomatoes we are getting in supermarkets now are a different tomato from what we had 40 years ago. And I'll tell you why they're different. They are much, the skin in a modern tomato is much tougher. It's much harder to bite through. It's almost like leather or something. It's a really strong skin they've got around them now. And that's obviously, I mean, you don't have to genetically modify things to get, you know, a thicker skin. I'm not saying that. You can do it with hybridization or cross-pollination, if you like. You can do it with that. And they do. Because a thicker skin generally, not always, but generally, means a better shelf life. So, but, yeah, so they've taken rat genes and put them in tomatoes to increase their shelf life. I don't know about you people, but I find that absolutely horrendous. You know, that just blows my head open. It's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting that that would even enter someone's head. Why would that even enter someone's head? Let's try putting a rat gene in a tomato cell and see what happens. What? Really? It's absolutely nuts. It blows me away. Now, they're using embryonic cells as well. They're taking embryo cells. And they're putting them in soft fruits like strawberries and stuff like that. I mean, how screwed up is the world becoming? Why would you do that? Why would that even occur to someone to try doing that? I really can't get my head around it. It's disgusting. Now, they're using embryo tissue. They're actually using embryo tissue as food additives as well, and flavor enhancers. So they're making the population cannibals. Or they're trying to make the population cannibals. I mean, some of this stuff is so freaky, I wish I could unlearn it. I wish I didn't know it. Because it's just too bizarre. And too evil to even get your head around how someone would do that. another one as well is, and this one's close to home for me, is a baby formula known as Y-soy. Now, it's a soya bean-based formula milk for babies. My oldest son was on it because he had an allergy to breast milk and he had an allergy to normal formula milk. Quite a vicious allergy, actually. I have to say, his face swole up and everything. I remember that. He seemed to be okay on Y-soy. That's what the doctor ordered, basically. So he was raised on Y-soy, what do you call it? Weaned. He was weaned on Y-soy. Now, they've known, we've only found this out recently due to the this being the age of information. Everybody's like switched on and exchanging information because of the internet. But they've known it for years. The powers that be have known for years that soya and soya-based products are responsible for feminizing men. It attacks. It's got estrogen in it, basically. It's got an estrogen enhancer in it, but it also attacks the testosterone in a man. So kids, weaned on whey soy, I've got a good chance of becoming gay. Now, my oldest son is gay, surprise, surprise. And I'm almost positive it was due to the fact he was fed whey soy or soya products for, you know, a large part of his babyhood. But he was a baby. Now, we never knew, we had no idea, obviously, back then, we had no idea that soya was responsible for feminizing men. We had no idea. People didn't know about that, those things. It's only now we've found out that it's linked to that. And as I say, I'm a living proof that it does indeed feminize babies, male babies. It feminizes them. And I remember going on to a forum one night, you know, I logged on and I was just reading different stories about similar to mine, basically. And I was surprised at the amount of them I was, like, there was a lot of different people. For some reason, quite a lot in Australia, New Zealand and South Africa, as well as the States. People were just starting to join the dots and go, oh, you know, wait a minute. Yeah. I'm gay. I was brought up in that stuff. Oh. Is that a coincidence? Could that be a coincidence? Well, it's not that much of a coincidence because it's affected thousands of people. Is that was that you trying to, we've got a caller, yeah, Richard.
No.
We can take caller.
No, I don't believe we can. We'd have to have you jump back on the other platform.
All right, okay. I'm not here from Johnny, like, I don't know if he's managed to patch. You know, Skype into his network or not, I'm not sure.
I'll see if I can add him on here for you. I'll do that.
I did tell him what I was doing, like. I'll let him know what I was doing. Yeah, I can't see him anyway. But anyway, yeah, so that's another one. They've known. I mean, it's the ultimate. When you think about it, because gay guys are unlikely to have children. Very unlikely. So it's the ultimate weapon as far as they're concerned. And I'm sure they've been doing research on this for years to find other compounds and other things that would, you know, basically feminize men or masculinize women. Because if you can masculinize a woman after a certain point, she stops producing eggs. That's what happens. The same thing happens with men. Your sperm count goes way down with soya products. That's been proven. All soya products, by the way. Soya bean. I remember in the late 70s, we were getting hammered with soya bean propaganda. You know, how good it was, how wonderful it was, and revolutionary it was. And it was going to save, you know, killing all these animals and all this kind of stuff, you know. And it didn't contain any fat, and it was really high in protein and all this stuff. We were really sick, I can remember it. It even found its way into our slang for a while. That's how they were pushing their propaganda on us. It's even finding their way into street talking it. Soy. So yes, that's just one of the many tools they have in their arsenal. Of course, that leads us directly onto the whole LGBT thing, our whole fiasco. We're trying to make it trendy. We're trying to make it popular. We're trying to make it acceptable for people to be asexual or, you know, transsexual or Q-sexual or whatever the hell they call it, non-binary and all that. It's just utter nonsense. It's just utter nonsense. I watched a documentary last week. It was quite interesting, and it was a group of people who had changed sex. Women had become men, and men had become women, and they'd basically done it in stages, and they had become, well, it was tragic. It really was tragic. And they'd all, every one of them, right, without exception, they'd all regretted doing what they'd done. They just said they never felt, you know, properly, you know, content with themselves or anything like that. So they went and got, you know, hormone therapy and then surgery. And, you know, it was tragic because these people, that all regretted changing their sex and all wanted to get changed back. And this poor guy, I felt really sorry for him. He was just like, he had a bad speech impediment. He couldn't speak that well. And he'd been bullied a bit at school, obviously. You could tell, well, he said that himself, like, but he'd always felt like odd one out and everything. Anyway, he'd basically, to cut a long story short, went and got surgery to become a woman. And he kept thinking that once he'd taken that step, you know, that final step, this is after years of hormone therapy and everything, that he would somehow find contentment and peace. And he said he just felt like a freak. He felt he had boobs and everything. He looked like a woman. It was kind of sad though, because he said he had they'd give him a surgically implanted vagina, and basically just a bag of skin. And he said it had been really uncomfortable and painful to have sex. And he tried having a relationship with two different partners, but just, you know, sex was agony. So he basically ended up with someone he couldn't use, and totally regretted what he'd done. So he must have had plenty of money when I think about it. So he went back into surgery and got a penis surgically put back on. So he said he went from having a useless vagina to having a pretty much useless penis, just a flap of skin, really, that didn't really work. So poor guy was just like, he'd done a good thing though. He was focusing his life on helping other people to think twice before they go and get surgery to change their sex. That's what he was doing. He was like organizing, you know, different events and everything to help these people, and reaching out like an outreach thing, just to get people to think twice about the whole transgender thing, because there's loads of them that just never found, you know, didn't find any peace of contentment at all, becoming what they thought, you know, they were, or they thought they should be. You know, I was born in the wrong body, I should have been a woman, all this stuff. It's like, wow. It was tragic. But it's good that there is people now coming forward and saying, look, listen, man, forget it. If you're born a man, just stay a man. Because you go and try and change your sex, you'll never be happy with it, basically. That was a message. So you've got these transgender bathrooms popping up everywhere, and we've got all that nonsense going on in the UK. I know you have in America as well. There was a thing online, I thought it was quite funny. It was a bunch of girls in a school in England had went in strike. Because the boys were using their toilets. They didn't want to see boys' bits. And they were being supported by their parents. But the council, it was coming from the council. The council had decided to install unisex bathrooms in a school, in a school. And that's, you know, that was what it was all about. And I know there's been the same fiasco. in the U.S. I know there has. So they're getting kids, they're making kids insecure, basically, and, you know, question their sexuality and everything, which is really wrong. Because, I mean, these are just kids, you know? Just let kids be kids. That's what you should do. Just let children be children, instead of imposing the adult sexuality bullshit on them. It's just wrong on so many levels. Just let them grow up and be curious and just do what we did, you know? Just grow up gradually. You don't need to know everything. You certainly don't need the state interfering. It's got mental in it. It's got mental in America. I couldn't believe it. Like, teaching 7 and 8 year olds how to masturbate. I mean, come on. There's absolutely no need for that. That is mental. That is absolutely insane. They'll learn it soon enough. Animals do it. They'll learn it soon enough. They don't need to. It's ridiculous. And then you've got that drag queen story hour. What the hell is that all about? That is mental as well. Getting drag queens to dance in front of the little 7 and 8 year old kids. For what purpose? What is the point of that? I mean, what is going on in America with that? What is going on? And why would you want drag queens reading stories to your kids anyway? And we're talking about really young kids here. And I mean, these people have got like really dodgy passes, convicted paedophiles and prowlers and all sorts of mad shit. That's what's all coming out. How can parents think that's okay? How can parents think that's cool? It's not cool. It's just... It's too screwed up to even get your head around. Why would you do that? What's the purpose of that? It kind of brings you to the character of who's really moving and shaking in the world, though, doesn't it? The powers that be. The real powers that be. The deep state. See what they're all about. So what are they all about? They're out about confusing your kids and breaking up families. That's what they're about. That's exactly what they're about. Because the more broken families you've got, the more kids you've got pouring into the so-called care system. Also known as the abuse system. That's what happens. And that's what they're doing. It's social engineering. Of the very, very worst kind imaginable. They've been at it for years. Even in, you see it coming at you in all angles. Even in films, it's been sold to us, it's been pushed on us by the mad Jews in Hollywood. I know it's not just Jews, but it's an awful lot of them Jews. If you look at the, who's directing and, producing all these movies, you'll see Jewish names over and over and over again, because Hollywood is basically run by a Jewish cult. That's what's going on. That's what's going on there anyway. And it's a Moloch cult. That's what it is. And who's Moloch? Oh, he just happens to be the god they used to sacrifice kids to. Do you think that's just a coincidence? Certainly not. Obviously not. But that's what they're into. That's what they're into. And they also, the Kabbalah. And the Talmud, Jewish Talmud, which is really trusted. That's when you get into really strange stuff. They're not all into it. I mean, well, they seem to be in Hollywood. Let's get that clear. Hollywood seems to be totally full of heavy-duty occultists and paedophiles. That seems to be what Hollywood is. A paedophile cult, pretending to be TV land. That's what it is. There's too much too much victims came forward. And, you know, pointed out what they're into, what they're about and everything. We know what they're about. So they're trying to sell it. Trying to sell it all across the world with their dodgy movies. Disguised as entertainment and humour. It's your kids they're after. I couldn't believe it when I first heard the story that there was... when I first heard the... It's not a story. When I first heard the porn, that there was dodgy porn in Walt Disney movies, I thought it was some kind of wind-up. I thought it was something, you know... No, it can't be right. But there actually is. There actually is. And it's only now that we've got the ability with computers to slow things right down, frame by frame. You see porno stuff getting flashed up in Disney movies. And random stuff like penises in Disney movies designed for kids. I couldn't believe it, but I watched a documentary about it, and they broke it all down, showed the actual movie, and basically found the actual bit in the movie that showed the porn clip or the dick pic or whatever it was. Disney thought that was funny. Disney, of course, was a paedophile. Everybody knows he was a paedophile, serial paedophile. So he thought it'd be funny. Now, he was another secret society guy. He was a 33rd degree Mason, Disney was. So you can rest assured that most of his lieutenants, most of his workers, most of his people would have been Mason. That's what they do. That's how they do it. That's what they do. It's exactly what they do. So his team. Now, do you think they did that for a laugh? I mean, we're discussing a fact here. We're not talking about some sort of conspiracy theory. There is a porn in Disney cartoons. Everyday Disney cartoons. Everyday one. There is porn in there. And porn clips. There is. It's a fact. So why would they do that? It's not just because they're perverts. There's more to it than that. I mean, they're obviously perverts. There's more to it than that. They're actually cult members. And they're into the occult. This is what they're about. It's a heavy, they're heavy-duty Molech cult worshippers. That's what they are. That's what they're into. So, children are seen as prey. It's quite bizarre, really, because they had the... fantastic write-ups and everything, because some of that cartoons are brilliant. You know, they're really well thought out, well presented, well made, really popular, and all of that stuff. You know, they can move you to tales and everything. Not really, really good. But there's a dark side, a horrible dark side to it that it's quite hard to get your head around. It was Disney himself. He was a troubled guy. And he basically built a whole organization. Multi-billion pound organization. With paedophilia as a central aspect to it. So you've got Disneyland in Florida. That's an interesting place. There's eyewitness accounts to say there's a whole labyrinth of tunnels underneath the place. Cameras everywhere. Cameras even in the rides. And underground rooms, underground toilet facilities, underground showers, conference rooms, and everything. Underground. But it's only certain people that get in there. You've got to have a certain level of authority or whatever to get in, well, to get below into the subterranean level. And whistleblowers have come forward and said, yes, I've been down there, and yes, it's bristling with cameras, cameras everywhere, and screens everywhere, hundreds of them. So, that's what these people do, isn't it? They watch kids, that's how they get their kicks. And if a kid goes missing, that's an interesting thing, if a kid goes missing in Disney, they don't say it's went missing. They won't say it, they won't admit it's went missing. I'm talking about kids that go missing forever, not for half an hour. I'm talking about kids that disappear. They don't say, they will never admit that they went missing in Disneyland. Never. That's it's bad for business. So they use other terms. Newspapers. What are newspapers? What are newspapers? All newspapers are owned by the same groups, small groups of people. It's trying to mind control you. I don't know anybody that buys newspapers anymore. But that's what they are. They're just mind control rods. People trying to make you think a certain way. Stuff's presented to you. The news is presented to you to fit a political agenda, their political agenda. And it's basically scripted nonsense. That's what it is. But that's what they do. That's what they do. And they'll keep you distracted. When something else really horrible is going on, they'll keep you distracted with some. For instance, they're doing it now. They're doing it right now. The big story is Jeffrey Epstein killed himself. The serial paedophile, the paedophile island and all that. He killed himself, supposedly in jail. And he had accused Prince Andrew of having sex with Virginia Roberts when she was only 15, and others. So he disappeared, supposedly committed suicide, but yet eyewitnesses at the jail, both inmates and screws, said that they've seen guys arriving in a van in combat fatigues with a body bag, and they went into the prison, and all the security cameras mysteriously went down. And then they came back out of the prison with a body bag. So that's our eyewitness account. So they obviously did a body swap. That's what they did. That there is a body swap. No question about it. It's a body swap. But anyway, while all that was going on, you know, and the royal family has been investigating everything. I mean, this is big stuff. This is, you know, this is serious shit. Really.
Well, Graham. You know,
yeah.
I definitely don't believe he's really dead either. And
right.
From some sources, we've heard confirmation that his island, Epstein Island, was a honey trap for a Mossad blackmail ring. So
yes.
I definitely think he has a golden parachute with a new identity somewhere. Is most likely the case.
Yes, but what have they been keeping us distracted with all this time, Richard?
It pretty much has left the media in the States here.
I know.
At this point. So, I mean, I think they accomplished their goal. Any connections to any real dirt, such as the Clintons, a dirty work, is, I think, what they were really worried about it leading to, just like with her email fiasco of her, you know, using an unsecure means for her emails and all of those, which are still, we're getting reports even now, claims that it's 10 times the amount of emails that, Comey had declared.
Yeah.
We're getting more and more confirmation of just a lot of the real reasons, a lot, often what we've suspected for geopolitical moves. I believe something was revealed about Gaddafi recently, confirming what we all suspected, is that, you know, they removed him for delinking, allowing, well, having his gold dinar, you know, not backed by a private central bank, having his oil sold for the dinar, not the U.S. dollar. And it's, well, yeah, Epstein's definitely not dead. It was definitely Mossad as far as, you know, the purpose of it. There's no way, I mean, it didn't make sense for him to be off suicide watch requested by his lawyer unless they were thinking they'd benefit from this.
Yeah. A thing they've kept us distracted with, though, from all of this reality, Richard, is that Una Thunberg girl, that climate activist thing.
Oh,
you
can't
get moved.
That's in center stage now for globalist distraction, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Every time you put on the news, you see her little face. And I think it's disgusting how they're using an autistic girl to sell their latest taxation scam.
You know, your mate here on Thursdays is planning to be back. He almost was back this week, Paul. But he actually got stuck in traffic after a just an unexpected late meeting. And yeah, he missed his broadcasts. But last week he had some issues, but he's planning to be back next week. I should send you his link, though, from a couple of weeks ago. 2 weeks ago tonight, he actually did a bit and played some of his YouTube perspectives on Miss Thunberg. And it was quite comical, actually. I think you'd get a good kick out of it.
I just feel sorry for the poor wee girl, though, Richard.
Ah, yeah, come on. She's paid by George Soros to be a propaganda tool.
Yeah, I know. So they brainwash an autistic little girl and make her the face of the taxation scam. That's quite dirty.
Well,
really.
I'd blame her parents for getting her into acting to begin with. You know, child actors, you have to question those parents in every case.
I know.
But she's a child actor, okay? I don't know about autistic to the extent that she can't be proficient. I mean, I don't... Autistic
Richard.
Or not, I don't think that matters. If she's already a child actor,
yeah.
You know, I blame the parents. And she's clearly just doing this as reading off a script.
Richard, when did you stop calling female actresses... actresses and start calling them actors? When did that happen?
Well, which did I say? Actor or actress?
You said actor.
I did.
So that's what I meant.
It
Americans
was an accident. I'm not that conditioned. I mean, I hear that trend, but no. I use the word actress, sure. But
but you just said actor. Americans,
okay.
Also, Americans call female actresses actors. All the time, I've been noticing this.
Okay, well, it must be. Well, you know, I think that started a little after my generation. I think it was just, you know, I think I've just used either or. I don't really think I was ever conditioned with the feminist propaganda, if that's what you're implying.
With the actor thing, yeah. No, I just noticed it was an interesting nuance.
Yeah, it's. What, misogynistic to have a separate term? That's the idea that some of that's
yes.
coming from. Right? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't buy into that. But I mean,
yeah,
some
right.
terms, some terms I think you might use either kind of frequently for some professions and such.
You know what I think? The one I find quite amusing, Richard, and American news and stuff like that, if we're speaking about somebody like lying on the ground or something lying on the ground or whatever, they'll say lying on the floor. You know, we're talking about a highway or, you know, a bit of grass or whatever. They say he's lying on, or they were lying on the floor. It's not a floor. A floor is a man-made thing.
Hmm.
It's a ground. Have you not noticed that?
Okay. Well, look at the time. Not that I had a response to that anyway, but yeah, perhaps you might want to wrap up with your listeners and be sure to jump on Uber, even if you have trouble and need a couple tries, but definitely get on that round table with us after your show here.
All right, yeah, you're just going to wait a segue right into the round table, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, so just jump on there. I never left it, so I'm still already waiting on there for you.
Right, cool, okay. Well, I'll wind up then, will I?
It sounds good.
Okay, right. Thanks, folks. That was a quick hour. That second hour was really quick. We're just coming up to the top of the hour. Anyway, we're going to continue on into the... I'll get a bit of a break, like, hopefully. But we're going to segue right into the round table, which can be a lot of fun. It can be quite interesting, quite mad sometimes. But it's always interesting, especially if we get random... people phoning in, which usually happens. But anyway, I'm going to wind up the show and just say goodnight, and I'll be back next week at the same time with the 21st Century Jacobite. So goodnight and God bless.
Covers count.